Perek Yud Pasuk Tes, we're going to start.
Page 342.
342, top line.
You got it.
This Pasuk we learned, but we didn't learn it for a while, so we're just starting this Pasuk to get back into the thing. What's happening so far, Hashem is telling Moshe, go to Paray, or come to Paray, because if he doesn't, there's going to be a plague of locusts. He's going to send Arba. Okay? And they're going to cover the whole land, and they're going to eat up all the things that everything was left over from before. So Paray said, okay, come back. He called Moshe and Aaron back, and he says to them, okay, go serve God. Who's going? Mi v'mi ahelchem. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, b'noreinu v'zkeinenu neilech. And last time he explained the very beautiful Baruch Turim, the Paray said to Moshe, mi v'mi ahelchem, who's going out anyway? The only ones that are going to make it is Yeshua ben Nun and Kalev. So what's the big deal? They're all going to die in the desert anyway. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, b'noreinu v'zkeinenu neilech. Our young, our old are going, because the decree of dying in the desert was only for the people between the age of 20 and 60. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, our kids are going to go, and the old people are going to go. They're not dying out. But v'neinu v'neseinu, our sons, our daughters, b'seinenu v'vkoreinu neilech, our sheep, our cattle, everybody's going. Why are we all going? Ki chag Hashem lanu, it's a holiday. And if it's a holiday, we don't know what Hashem is going to want from us. And also, when you go holiday, you take the whole family with you, you know, with everything. Okay? So, and as Mefarshim point out, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paray, listen, we have an age of 13 and 12, that the boys and the girls are adults. You can't say let the kids stay here. Because the kids are bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah have the same mitzvahs as the adults. We have to take everybody with us. Okay, so he said, Vayem alem, so he said to them as follows. Yehi chen Hashem imachem. And he said, may God only be with you, that I will send you forth. The way I'm going to send you out with your kids. In other words, he says in simple English, pleasant dreams. If that's what you think. You should see, you should see that there is evil intent opposite your faces. That's the simple meaning. What is the simple meaning? Because Paray says to Moshe, this is the simple meaning. Paray says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're lying. If you're taking everybody with you, you're not intending to come back. In other words, Paray said, give me a guarantee that you're coming back. Leave something here. You're going to go with men, women, children, animals. He said, what do you think? I'm a fool that you're not coming back. Ru'u, you should see, ki ra nagid p'necham. There's evil in your intent. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Rashi adds to this that ra'a nagid p'necham is not evil. It's the name of a star. Astrology. And Paray said that there's a star, signifies blood. It will govern the Yidin's destiny for the future. What does this mean? Whenever they're going to be going, is going to be the concept of blood. And Moshe Rabbeinu used this after the eagle. When Moshe Rabbeinu said in the pasuk, that God took him out, meaning as follows. Paray said to them, as Rashi says, that I see in the stars that you're going to go out with blood, which simply implies you're going to get killed. So why do you want to go out? What the star really did imply of was the concept of the bris milah that Yeshua was going to do to the Jews before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning as follows. When the Jews were in Egypt, according to Medrashim, only the tribe of Levi did bris. The other Jews did not do bris. In fact, we're going to learn later in the Pasha, not that the Pasuk speaks clearly about it, but when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Paschal Lamb at the end of the Pasha, which we have weeks to get to, so what happened over there, it says Hashem took the smell and spread it of Moshe Rabbeinu's carbon Pesach that he brought, that he barbecued, you know, roasted, and it went all over Egypt, and it was a beautiful smell. And all the Jews came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Hey, give us." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Sorry, call Orel Loyecholbei. Whoever's not circumcised can't have. Tough luck." So the Jews went that night, and they all circumcised themselves. That was the purpose of it. They all went on a bris. There's a whole question we'll discuss later. Carbon Pesach, you have to have the exact amount of people. When you shecht it, you have to know exactly who's going to be part of it and how could it be not part of it. And then there's another shaila that the commentaries ask. You have to do a bris milah during the day. And that night was at night. How do they do a bris milah at night? You can't do a bris at night. You have to do it during the day. And they answered that night that the Jews left Egypt, it was Laila Kayom Yoyed. It was lit up like day. So therefore it had a din of day, not of night. So that's issue number one. So the Jews in Egypt, what?
Must have been a lot of pain walking
out of Egypt. It was a miraculous bris. They had an expert mail. What to go? Okay, we'll talk about it when we get there. So then, that was one time that the Jews did a mass circumcision. Then there was another time in history that the Jews did a mass circumcision, and that was when Yeshua was taking the Jews into Eretz Yisrael after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Many Jews in the desert did not circumcise themselves. So Yeshua did through a mass circumcision process to the whole Jewish nation. So that's what it says. The stargazers, the astrologers saw Ru'u Neged Peneichem. Ki Ra'a Neged Peneichem, I mean. So Ra'a really meant the blood of Bris Milah. The Gemara says, if you're born in a certain mazel, you get certain characteristics. So the Gemara says, if you're born in mazel madim, which is the mazel of blood, it's no good. So the Gemara says, what should you do? One of two things. Either become a shaychet or a moil. Because then at least you're dealing with good blood. Otherwise, you're going to be a murderer. The Gemara says, you're going to be a murderer. Why? Because you're born in the mazel of blood. So if you're born in the mazel of blood, it's no good. So it says, transfer it to good stuff. Okay, so then it says, Leichein probably says to them, no, that's not what's going to happen. L'chuno agvarim, I'm only letting the men go. In other words, it's not going to be like you said to take the kids out and the animals, everything, Baba Mises. L'chuno agvarim v'idos Hashem, only the men should go out to serve God. Ki eisa atam avakshim, that's what you asked until now. Until now, Moshe Rabbeinu said, let the men go out. All of a sudden, he changes his mind. Now he says, I want everybody to go out. So Pari says, listen, you asked first for the men, that's it, I'm only letting the men go out. Vayigarish Eisa Meish B'nei Pari, and he drove him out of Pari.
Moshe asked
it only for the men to go out? Before he said, let the men go out, we have to serve Hashem. And who did Avedis Hashem? Only the men. Before he said that we have to go Chag Hashem Lanu, not now. Before he asked only for the men. He asked only for the men to go out. Yes.
Huh? This is complete lie.
At one time, that's what he implied. The implication was that he asked for the men to go out because he wanted Zivchul Alakechem to go bring korbanos. They drove him out from the presence of Pari, and like Rashi says, it doesn't say who drove them out, but somebody obviously drove them out. Not what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for. Isn't that what it says in the Pasuk? What does Eisatam Vakshim mean? That's what you're asking for. Okay. Vayema Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe. Okay, so now Pari, Moshe Rabbeinu threatened Pari. He threatened him. He didn't accept it. So now starts the plague. Vayem Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Nete yotcha l'eretz Mitzrayim bo'arba, stick your hand out over the land of Egypt, bo'arba for the sake of arba. It doesn't mean stick your hand out in the locusts. It means bo'arba for the locusts to happen. Vayal l'eretz Mitzrayim, and they're going to come up in the whole land of Egypt. V'yeichal es kol eisav ha'aretz, they're going to eat all the leftover grass of the land. Eis kol asher hishir ha'barad, whatever the barad, the hail left over. At the end of last week's parasha, we learned that the barad, the hail destroyed everything that was hard. The soft things, the hail didn't destroy, because they bent. So now, the arba is going to finish up what the barad didn't. And in fact, we learned already before that one of the reasons why Hashem didn't make everything finish with barad, because he wanted to bring another plague. And if everything was finished, he couldn't bring another plague. So it's worth it for Hashem to destroy less the first plague, to be able to bring a second plague. That was more powerful for Hashem to show his power. Huh?
One question.
Yeah.
Why the Jews in Egypt, because from the time of Abraham, everybody was circumcised, that's why they were called Hebrews. Why the Jews in Egypt didn't have circumcision?
Not that they weren't supposed to, they just didn't.
For what reason?
They did a lot of things wrong.
No, because it says they kept their clothes, their names, and
their language.
The language
and but Bris Mila says a lot of people didn't do.
In Russia.
At the beginning,
Russia, because they're allowed to be.
At the beginning of Parsha Shmos, it implies, because there's a Balotum that says they did keep Mila in Israel. But it could be that was only the first generation that came down. As the Jews assimilated with the Egyptians in Egypt, a lot of them, most of them, in fact, did not do circumcision. It says only Levi kept, tribe of Levi kept the circumcision. So now, there's a very interesting Or HaChaim over here. We said, what does it mean? So Rashi says, what does it mean? Not bo arba, in the arba, but for the sake of arba. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, what does it mean? Stick out your hand bo arba. It's a funny expression. So the Chaim says two things. He says, number one, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu had a locust stuck at the end of a stick. Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he stuck out his hand, it was with the stick. So one opinion, he says, that it could be there was one locust tied to the end of the stick. So when he stuck out his hand, it was Bo'arba with the locust. The locust stuck out his thing. Or he says that when he did it, when he stuck out his hand, he said arba. You know, stick out your hand and say the word arba. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns simply. It means stick out your hand that the arba, the locust, should come.
Every Marcus was written on the
Rosh Tevis of it was, at least.
But he didn't have to say anything.
It was written on the scene. But Hashem said arba, that they should come. He had to call them. He had to call them to come. Huh? 1-800-ARBA. The 8 Meshas Matei Eretz Mitzrayim. So Meshas Rabbeinu stuck out his stick. And it's interesting. Hashem said to him, stick out your hand. But he stuck out the stick, because that was like the extension of his hand. It's interesting. The Pasuk says Hashem said to him, Neteyotcha. Stick out your hand over the land of Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says he stuck out his stick. Who says it is? Who says it's not? In reference to what din? I don't know. Some people don't like, by the way, while we're on the extension cords, some people don't like when you kiss a Sefer Torah using a siddur for an extension cord. It's disrespectful to the siddur. You're too lazy to go closer, so you stick out a siddur to an extension cord. You're not allowed to use farm as an extension cord. So some people don't like the idea in halacha. You kiss it with the talus, you kiss it with your hand, you kiss it with... It's like, you're too lazy to walk another 3 inches, so, you know, use a chumash or a siddur. It's not right. It's nothing to do. Nothing to do with this. The 8 Meshes Yodei al Eretz Mitzrayim, he stuck out his stick over the land of Mitzrayim. What happened? Vashem Niag Roch Kodem Ba'odet, Hashem brought an eastern wind, because it had to come from the Yam, which was west of Egypt. So it had to go, the Arba had to go east. So Hashem made an eastern wind come to blow up the arba, the locust, into the land of Mitzrayim. So Hashem made a kolayema huva cholaloyla that whole day and that whole night. Habeikir hayu, when it came in the morning, veruach hakadim, the eastern wind, nasir sa'arba, brought up the arba, brought up all the locusts. So Mesha's hand caused Hashem to bring the eastern wind, and it blew a day and a night, and all the thing came. So it says, what happened? Vayalho arba kol eretz Mitzrayim, the locusts came up over the entire land of Mitzrayim. Vayonach, and it rested b'chol gvul Mitzrayim, throughout the boundaries of Mitzrayim. And as we learned by a different plague, that there was a whole fight going on between the land of Mitzrayim and the land of Chum, what the boundaries of Egypt were. There's a whole fight going on between neighboring countries, you know, like today, where the boundaries of the country are. So it says these plagues helped define the boundaries. Because it says like here by the Arba, b'chol gvul Mitzrayim, in the entire boundary of Mitzrayim were the locusts. So they understood, they knew that wherever the locusts were, that was Egypt. Where the locusts weren't, that was the next country. So this is, in a difficult way, so to speak, at least gave the maps the ability to know where to make the countries. What? Locust. Oh, number 8. No, darkness. Dumb was the first. We're already by number 8. Ve'yichasis ein kol ha'oretz. It covered the entire eye of the land, meaning every part. Ve'tachshach ha'oretz to such an extent that the earth became dark, because it blocked the entire sunlight from the coming. Ve'yichlos kol esav ha'oretz. It ate all the grass of the land. Ve'yichlos p'rio ate and all the fruits of the trees. Asher ha'isir ha'bored that the bored left over. Nothing left was in, nothing at all was left throughout the entire Mitzrayim, not in the vegetation, not in trees, not in the grass, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, throughout the entire land of Mitzrayim. Now, it's a very I should have mentioned this before. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, when it says the word Vahashem, and Hashem. So Rashi in previous parshas in Vayera, Rashi in different parshas says that whenever it says Vahashem, the is it like and Hashem? It's not only Hashem. Hashem made the decision with his Bez Din up there. Hashem has a court up there. Meaning Hashem discussed it, so to speak, whatever that means, with his Bez Din, that people shouldn't say that, why is God doing this to Egyptians? The servant said, let them go. So God's cruel to the Egyptians. The Egyptian servant, not Potty, the servant said, let the Jews go. So Hashem said, let's have a meeting. The servant said, go. Potty said, no go. As far as the king, so no go goes. So therefore Hashem is punishing them, but everybody should be aware that it's not, so to speak, a personal decision of Hashem. It's everybody agreed that everybody heard this. Rashi, I mean, the Mefarshim quote over here, there's 7 types of locusts. But here the Torah calls them Arba 1 because the Torah includes all 7 different families of locusts together. Okay, so then it says, the Yemad Pari hurried up. Yet the Mefarshim ask over another interesting question Mamloyas brings down, and that is, this was basically close to the month of Nisan. Right? Because soon Yetzias Mitzrayim. No. Now we all know that in the month of Nisan is when trees start blossoming. Right. So the question is, what does it mean it ate up all the fruit trees? Where do you get fruit trees in Nisan? Or before Nisan? So they answer that it says something similar to that. It says that they ate the trees that make the fruits. And those not the fruits themselves, because they were not necessarily fruits. So most trees, that's why you make a brach on this and on the blossoming of the trees, because the fruits are not there yet. And he says that that people started plowing the fields and it ate it up. Okay, so Pari ran and hurried up to call Moshe and Aaron. But Yemen, he said, Chotosi l'Hashem alekeichem, I sin to God, v'lochem, and to you. I sin to everybody over here. Now, the Sepurna says, why did Pari all of a sudden rush over here? What's the rush? He says, the locusts were eating up the roots of the vegetation. Mm-hmm. And that's permanent damage already. Because once you have the roots, you can always replant, you know. But when it eats up the roots, so then you're causing permanent... So that's why Pari hurried up. It wasn't in the ground, but they were going into everything. So he says, he hurried up and he called Moshe and he said, I sin to God and to you. V'ato now, so no chatosi achapam, please carry my sin just this once. Meaning, please forgive me. Now, why did Pari say, I sin to God and to you? And then he says to them, you carry my sin. You forgive my sin. It's like funny. He said, I sin to God and to you, and you forgive my sin. What's with Hashem? I mean, Hashem has to forgive the sin. He doesn't say, he says, okay, Davin to Hashem. But he says it as follows. He said first about the sin to Hashem, because that's the greater sin. So he says, but Hashem forgives quicker than people. In other words, he's changing, the Klei Yoker asks, let's rephrase it. The Klei Yoker asks, the Torah switching the order. He said, I sin to God and to you. And then he says, you forgive me and God should forgive me. So why is he changing the order? He starts off with the sinning, Hashem first, and then you. And for forgiveness, he says, you first and then Hashem.
That's correct.
So why?
Because if you don't forgive me, maybe you don't go and pray for me that I don't...
1 second. So he says like this. He says, sin-wise, the sin was to Hashem worse than to Moshe. Because this is all coming from Hashem. But God forgives quicker than people. So he said like this. I sinned worse to God and then to you. When I'm asking forgiveness, he says, I'm asking first from you because you're harder to get forgiveness from than from Hashem. Hashem is easier to get forgiveness from than from a person. Why? So the Alter Rebbe explains this in Tanya very beautifully. If you come to somebody, you smack them in the face. And you come to them, you say, I'm sorry. They'll forgive you. Do it a second time, it's going to be harder to get forgiveness. You do it a third time, a tenth time, there's no way they're going to forgive you. Why is that? Because human patience is limited. We have a limited amount of patience. You know, I can handle, I can take the garbage once, twice, but after a while, come on, it gets, I can't take it anymore. Hashem has infinite kindness. And if you have infinite kindness, there's no difference between one time or a million times. Because his kindness is not limited. And Alter Rebbe explains, this is what we say in Shemoneh Esrei three times a day. In Slach Lanu Avinu, we say, God forgive us. We say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chanun, the merciful one, Hamarbe L'Sleach. What does Marbe L'Sleach mean? Infinite kindness. And that's why Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, there's no doubt that God will forgive us. Why? Because there's a rule in Halacha, on a doubt, you can't say a bracha on a doubt. Well, you know, you can't say a bracha because it might be saying God's name in vain. If we're not certain that God forgives, even though we sin a million times, so how can you make a bracha? God is forgiving. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's too many times to forgive. So he says, that's how the Rebbe says, the fact that we say a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, and we say marbel isleach, an abundance of forgiveness, this itself shows that God's kindness is so infinite, that no matter how many times we sin, as long as we ask forgiveness, and we mean it, He will forgive us. So Pat is coming to Moshe and said, listen, to God I sinned worse than to you guys. That's why I'm saying Hashem and to you. But as far as forgiveness goes, Hashem I'm not worried about. If you forgive me, I'm sure Hashem is going to forgive me. By the way, in Tanya, while on it, Alter Rebbe says, in Tanya, we have to learn from God. Just like we ask God a million times forgiveness, even though we keep sinning. The same sins we keep doing over and over and over. And we ask God for forgiveness, and we hope and expect Him, so we demand that He should forgive us. So He says, in Tanya, if you're asking from Hashem to forgive you even after a million times, so you shouldn't forgive a friend who did it 10 times. I mean, after all, you know, Mida Keneged Mida. If you're asking Hashem forgiveness after 100 times, so be kind and forgive somebody after 10 times. And therefore, the Rebbe brings down the story in Tanakh. The Givanim, Shaul killed our whole city of people of giving. And they didn't forgive him. So David HaMelech said, if you're not a forgiving type, and then they wanted to convert. So David HaMelech said that the Givanim that wanted to come to the Jewish people, David HaMelech said, I'm not letting you in. Because you can't forgive somebody like Shaul HaMelech, then you don't deserve to be Jewish. The Jewish people are by nature forgiving type of people. That doesn't mean we should take advantage of another Jew and, you know, make him crazy. But the bottom line is that Hashem is forgiving. So Pari said, I know God forgives. So first I'm asking you forgiveness because you're harder to get to. So if you forgive me, I know God will forgive me. And I want you to daven to God. And remove from me, like some of us says, this death thing. Because basically, this is killing us. You know, it's killing us because it's ending up eating everything that existed. So what happened? So he says, I want you to daven to God. So he brings down a medrash over here. The medrash says that together with the locusts came snakes. Snakes. And they used to kill a lot of people. So they said, get rid of all this, you know, this death thing going on over here. Huh? The medrash says. The Baal Turim says, Melamed Shemat Svardim V'ima Arba Hayu Nechoshim. Together with the frogs, when the Maka frogs came, there were snakes, and when the locusts came, there were snakes.
He's not here.
No, not in the Chumash.
Why doesn't it sound the Chumash that the frogs came with the snakes?
All the Medrashim, which are books and books, doesn't say in Chumash. That's the oral title. That's the way it works. Torah says certain details, and the explanations, and the stories, and the elaborations, and what went on, you get from the Medrash.
So every snake came with every...
Not with every locust. With the plague of locusts came snakes. Yes, sir.
Did the locust affect every Egyptian?
Yes.
So, why didn't the Jews just leave when the Egyptians were being affected? Couldn't they just get up and leave at that point?
Yeah, why didn't they get out during darkness? Well, we don't know about dark. We didn't learn it yet. We don't know about darkness.
Well, I don't know. You mean in all the plagues?
I'll tell you why. Because the Jews always listen. We know that. Jews always listen. God didn't tell him to leave, so he didn't leave. Very simple.
You mean we're sheep?
I don't know.
It's on our cows. No, but weren't their son who just said, you know what, let's get out of here?
Because Hashem didn't tell him to go yet.
Because there was this great group that escaped.
You know, they didn't tell what was happening yet.
Well, and so what's the question? God didn't say leave, so they didn't leave.
Wasn't there a group that left? They left?
There was the Ephraim that left 30 years early, and they were all killed out.
These plagues were lasting for 1 week, right?
The plagues basically, sum total was a month. 3 weeks warning and 1 month plague.
Okay, so in a month, let's say, you know, you're seeing like the one who's holding you hostage disabled. So you don't get up and leave wherever you are.
Not if God doesn't tell you to leave.
Moshe didn't tell them because they had Moshe there.
There wasn't one out of there was 3 million Jews at least.
What happens, let me ask you a question. What happens if you're being held by kidnappers and the kidnapper is being beaten up, okay, and you know for sure that tomorrow he's even going to get it worse than today? What's the rush? Enjoy the fun.
Yeah, but we learned that last time that Hashem wanted Paro to let him out.
Correct. That's all part of the issue. That's a very good point, by the way. I mean, I should have said that one even more. It's a greater accomplishment when goyim say get out than when Jews just run out.
So like me, we have to suffer from...
They weren't suffering anymore. No, the Jews were not suffering. One second. At this stage of the game, for half a year...
Who was the one who suffered?
Hello? For half a year before Yetzias Mitzrayim, slavery stopped in Egypt. That means from Tishrei, before the Nisan, 6 months before... Slavery stopped.
Why?
What stopped?
Slavery.
Slavery.
Oh, when the Makot started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
6 months before. They didn't start 6 months before because they started basically 9 months before. But whatever. But at that time, after Damsfer Day or whatever, then probably the slavery stopped. So the Jews weren't being tortured now. The Jews weren't suffering now.
But what about retaliation when the 3 weeks warning to the Jews after each plague?
It's God's retaliation. It's God's retaliation.
What?
It's Hashem's retaliation.
No, but what if the Egyptians were angry and they would take retaliation on the Jews?
The Egyptians were screaming to Pyre, let them out.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean they're retaliation?
No, I thought maybe, you know, when everything's good, they get back to the Jews and go, it's your fault, and whack, you know?
No, the Egyptians over here were screaming, let them go. Is what? I'm sorry, what?
When we use the technology to read.
Yeah.
Listening?
As far as what goes?
Jews,
for what?
You see, Jews used to listen 4,000 years ago.
Listen to God.
Yeah, are we listening through internet or...
God. If we do mitzvahs, we're listening. When we don't do mitzvahs, we're not listening. Nothing...
Reading is not part of it.
If there's a mitzvah of learning Torah and you're reading Torah, so then you're doing your listening.
Also, they are the leader. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu existed and he would tell them, leave or not leave.
That's what we're saying.
Yes, I mean, God through Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
Just because there are locusts there doesn't mean Egyptians couldn't overpower them if they wanted to run away.
But there's snakes and viruses. Get rid of these death things. Okay.
Is there rope? Snakes is
what?
And a rope. Was there rope? Snakes come
in? No, it says Sfardei and Arba.
Yeah,
together with all the other animals, but not uniquely snakes. Vayet, first of all, could be only animals, not snakes. So they left Pare. And by the way, if you know an interesting thing here, one of my kids happened to bring it up to me, but it's very interesting. The Torah is going back and forth, singular and plural. In Pasuk Yud-Chas, for instance, it says, Vayet say, Me'im Pare. Who's he? It's Moshe and Aaron.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Vayetzu. Right? And throughout the parsha, here, it said Vayovoi Moshe v'Aaron opari. It should say Vayovoi U. Then sometimes, if you look in, throughout the parsha, it says, here, in Pasuk Zayin, Vav, Vayifen Vayetze mi'impari. He left Pari. And right away it says, Moshe and Aaron. Because basically many times the Torah is considering Moshe and Aaron as one unit. They're going together as a shlichus. So it's singular because it went as one power. Moshe spoke and Aaron was the interpreter. So basically, sometimes the Torah is using singular, sometimes the Torah is using double. But like we said, the world says this beautiful concept. Why did it take two people to take the Jews out of Egypt? Moshe and Aaron. Why couldn't one do it? So the answer is, one was to take the Jews out of Egypt, and one was to take the Egypt out of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
One was to take the Jews physically out of Egypt, and the other one was to take the evil, the Egypt, out of the Jew.
That's harder.
It's much harder.
To take the down from the horse.
Right. Okay, v'yavech Hashem ruach yom chazek meid. So now Hashem made the opposite. He made a very strong western wind. Vayisus Abed picked up the locusts, Vayiskoya Yamasuf, and dumped them in the sea. Lainisha Abed, Bechogvul Mitzrayim. It didn't remain one locust. And Rashi says, even the ones he salted to eat,
they
went away. Why? Because Hashem didn't want that they should benefit from the dead locusts, that they would be able to eat it, to sell it, to use it, whatever Hashem didn't want. So again, Pari's heart became hardened. And he didn't send the Jews. So, this is the end of Makkah 8. Now starts the Makkah of darkness. Before we start, there's an interesting halachic issue about darkness. And definitely in Hasidus there's an issue about darkness. The Rebbe brings down in a Maimer, in a footnote of a Maimer, that there's two opinions. What is darkness? Is darkness the absence of light, or is darkness something by itself? Because there's two ways of looking at darkness. Darkness is dark because the sun's not shining. That means darkness is not really something. It's when you have no light, so then darkness comes in.
The darkness have no substance.
There's no substance. Or is darkness... Yes, a substance.
Created.
Huh?
Created.
In other words, is darkness created, or is darkness only the absence of creation? So those that daven every day, and listen to what they daven, right after Baruch Hu in the morning, 7 days a week, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, by the way, the second part. Yetzer Er Uvorei Choshech. God formed light and created darkness. That's what the pasuk says. He created darkness. Clearly a pasuk says, God created. That means darkness is substance. So the Rebbe learns, in the Maimon, the Rebbe explains that there's really two levels of darkness. Because simply, scientifically, most times, darkness is just the absence of light. At night, the sun goes away, so there's darkness. It's not that darkness becomes created. It's just the absence of light. So the Rebbe explains that there's taka two levels of darkness. There is a level of darkness which is only the absence of light. And then there's a deeper level of darkness, like by the plague of darkness, that Hashem made darkness. And even then, we'll learn soon, there was a difference between the plague lasted 6 days. There was a difference between the first 3 days of darkness and the second 3 days of darkness. Okay? Because going back to the beginning of Chumash, Bereshis Bar Lakim, then it says, V'aretz Yisrael V'vayhu, the world was empty and desolate, V'chayshach Al Pnei Sahein, there was darkness all over. But if there was nothing, then darkness also can't exist. But it doesn't say in Chumash that Hashem created darkness. All it says, if I yom elikim, yehi or, God said there to be light. Then it says, v'yavdal elikim bein ha'or bein ha'cheshach, God separated between light and dark, v'yikra elikim la'or yom, v'la'cheshach kor olaylo. And also the truth is, when you give a name to something, you don't give a name to nothing, you give a name to something. So it's a whole, so to speak, in this Mefashim, elaborate on, without too much clarification, to tell you the truth, what is darkness?
Absence of
aura. Is it absence of aura? Because you have the same question. It says, Hashem created Shamayim. Now what's Shamayim? Rashi says, Shemayim is two words, Eish and Mayim. The Aleph is silent. So Shin is Eish, and Mayim, so Shemayim is Eish and Mayim. Now, in order to create Shemayim out of fire and water, you need first to create fire and water. You can't create Shemayim out of fire and water if there is no fire and water. Does it say anywhere in Chumash, God said, let there be water? It says, the Spirit of God hovered over the water. Where did water come from? So these are all issues that are extremely complicated to know exactly what it is.
It shows that there was a creation before our...
No. The Hakhtin's King Shining with that.
Well, it should be from God.
No.
So how is it that it's created already?
So the Torah doesn't necessarily say he created water.
But the darkness...
That doesn't mean he didn't create water.
But he said the darkness was created.
It doesn't say darkness was created.
But
I usually don't call back people, so it's okay. Thank you, though. Darkness of Mitzrayim, everybody says, was a created plague of darkness. It wasn't, at night, it was dark. Good morning. I mean, so Hashem kept the sun in, at the contrary, the Medrash says that the plague of darkness came dafk in the morning. When it became light, that's when Hashem made it dark. In other words, it wasn't darkness, just night darkness kept on going. Because then it wouldn't be a plague. Hashem, when it became light, made darkness. What?
I was saying maybe it's a point that maybe the water was from one of the previous worlds that Hashem created.
Hashem created one physical world and one physical world only.
No, there were seven.
No. I said one physical. It's okay. One physical world and one physical world only. That's it. That's all Hashem created. Don't look at me like that. There's seven Rakiyim, seven heavens. Yeah, but it's not physical worlds, spiritual worlds. The Rebbe once said when he, the Erechaim in Bahar, leave it, it's okay, let him ring. The Erechaim in Bahar says, he speaks about Nun Alpha Yevlis, 50,000 Jubilee years. Now, if the world is 5,764, you can ask an accountant over here, how is that divisible by 50? You don't get 50,000, 50 years. Right? There's an expression in Chazal, Nun Alpha Shana, 50,000 Jubilee years. 50,000 times 50 is?
50,000
times 50.
Is 2.5 million?
2.5 million.
2.5 million.
Yeah, but there ain't no 2.5 million worlds years since the beginning of creation, trust me. I know the scientists would be excited.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Then this is like in the spiritual level. Is depression the absence of happiness or a substance
no.
of its own?
No. We spoke about depression by Mincha. Depression is a substance by itself of evil.
It's not the absence of happiness?
No. You could be not happy, not depressed.
Yeah.
Depression is not passive, it's active. Depression is an active state, not a passive state. You are actively depressed. It's not passively depressed.
If you're happy, you can't be depressed.
Right.
So therefore, happiness moves out.
If you go right, you can't go left. That doesn't mean left is the absence of right.
You can be not happy but not depressed.
I mean, it's different. Okay. So now let's see the plague of darkness inside. I'll tell you something. You're not the first one. You're not going to be the last. And I don't care. Because you're wrong anyway.
Hashem said to Moshe,
put your hand on the heaven. And again, the simple meaning of Shas, the simple meaning of Allah Shemayim means towards the heaven. But we learned before, it says already another time that Hashem said to Moshe, Neteyotcha Allah Shemayim, and it means Hashem picked up Moshe Rabbeinu higher than the heaven, and then he put his hand on the heavens. Huh? If you take the pause, it says, Neteyotcha Allah Shemayim, spread out your hand on the heaven. Now, if you're on earth, He can't spread out your hand on the heaven. Right? So simply means in the direction of the heaven. But why does the Torah say not lehashamayim? Why does the Torah say al hashamayim? So the Medrash says that Hashem picked up Moshe Rabbeinu on top of the heaven and he said, put your hand on the heaven. We find the same thing by Avraham Avinu. Hashem picked him up higher than the stars and he said, look down at the stars. By a previous Makkah, it also says Hashem told him, Nateyotcha l'shamayim and so on. V'yicheshach al eretz Mitzrayim, or be darkness over the land of Mitzrayim. V'yamesh cheshach, and they're going to feel darkness. Meaning,
tangible.
This is tangible, right. So like it says, not only was there an absence of light, but it says Hashem brought down Anon Ava V'choshech, a big, fat, dark cloud. Not dark as absent, not letting sunlight in. It was an entity of darkness. And it says that even if people lit candles, it immediately put it out. It put out the candle. If a person lit a candle, it put it out right away. Like he says, if you go deep in the ground where there's no oxygen and you light a candle, it's not going to burn. It's not going to light. So he said, that's what happened. Hashem put the cheshach down in such a way that the Medrash says you couldn't even light a candle. No fire was able to be lit. The yamish cheshach, and it's going to be felt, like Rashi says, it's going to be darker than the darkness of night. It's going to be a felt darkness. So seven, eight measures, yodei al shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand on over the heavens. V'yichayshach afeila b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. It was a darkness of afeila, thick darkness over the whole land of Mitzrayim. Shleishis yamim, 3 days. So the first part of the plague lasted for 3 days. Quiet. First part of the plague lasted for 3 days. Then there was a second 3 days. A person was not even able to see his brother. You weren't able to get up. And Rashi explains this from the Medrash, that the second 3 day period of darkness was so thick, whatever position you were in, that's what you stayed. If your hand was out, you couldn't move it in. Wow. You were sitting, you couldn't stand. You were standing, you couldn't sit. It was so thick, like you were stuck. Stuck where you were. Yeah. Yet, for the Jews, there was complete light. It's late, but we'll, Mitzvah, next time we'll learn, why is it that Hashem Taka made the darkness? There's two reasons why Hashem made the darkness, and we'll learn about that.